How's everybody? You didn't get blown away. That's nice. It is like super quiet in here. Is everyone all right? Good morning.
Woo!
We're in church. In spite of the rain, I love it. Let's pray. We're going to dive into our new message series today. I'm so excited about what God's given me to share with you. So let's pray before we do that. God, we push out all distractions, even the wind and the rain and everything going on outside. And we focus in on your word. We focus in on the good news that's found in your word today. I just pray you'd give us, each one of us, the specific thing that we need from you. That we would each hear your voice clearly spoken through your word today. We receive it. In your name we pray. And everybody said,
amen.
I'm so excited. Did everyone see in social media this week? It was kind of humorous. So with all of the celebrity deaths that had happened in 2016, did you see the Betty watch? Did everybody see that? Some of you did. So there was this letter going around on social media. It says, "Dear 2016, if you take Betty White, we will riot. Sincerely, the human population." I thought that was so funny. But the thing is, death feels like it robs us, right? Like, if we really were to stop and think, if we're not laughing, we're going to cry about it. Because death feels like it's stolen something from us. We really wish we could riot against death, don't we? Why do we feel so much angst? Why do some of us fear death? It's because God created us to live forever. It feels so wrong because God created us to be eternal beings. That's why it feels so wrong. That's why we hate it so much, why we fear it so much. The Bible says that we were created to live forever. It says that because of sin, everyone dies. That death is a repercussion of sin entering the world, and the Bible tells us that one day we're going to face judgment before a holy God. That kind of scares us a little bit, doesn't it? Maybe for some of you, there's a little bit of curiosity about that moment. Like, I wonder what it'll be like. I wonder what it'll look like. Maybe for some of you, there's some excitement and some joy. Those of you that have been following the Lord a long time are like, oh, finally, I'll get to be in heaven, see Jesus face to face. Maybe some of you will approach that moment, and if you really thought about it, there's a little bit of worry. Will I have been found good enough? Is Jesus going to welcome me into paradise, or is he going to say, I never knew you? And there's this like concern. How do I know? And maybe even as a new believer, you go, I prayed the prayer, but how do I know that in that moment that I get to spend eternity with Jesus? So we're going to dive in today, starting our new message series. The message is called Under the Umbrella, and today we're going to talk about the good news of grace. That we stand under the umbrella of grace. So we're going to dive into that today, because the truth is none of us is worthy of being in God's presence. He's a holy God. None of us are worthy to stand before him. But the Bible gives us this hope, this confidence, this solution of how to approach that meeting day with peace, hope, joy, to look forward to it. It's found in Romans 6, verse 14. It gives us this command, live under the freedom of God's grace. Say that with me. Live under the freedom of God's grace. One more time. Live under the freedom of God's grace. It's a simple choice, like today with this beautiful, huge umbrella, which I'm sure outside would have gotten blown away, actually. But God's grace is so sturdy, so covering, so protective. It's literally the choice of stepping under it. That in our world, in the chaos and storms of life, in the rain, the mud, the pollution of the mud in our soiled lives, like all of that, we're simply invited to make a choice to step under this covering of God's grace. It's beautiful. It is that simple. And that's the good news, is that it is that simple. And I just want to encourage you today, if you find yourself feeling emotions of fear or worry or concern, to speak this truth over your life today and over your emotions, to say, this is the truth that I live under the freedom of grace. Say that with me one more time. Live under the freedom of grace. Yes, so let's get practical. How do we do that? Anybody curious? Let's just get real. How do we live? What does that look like? Like, what part do we play in that? Well, here's how we do that. To live under grace, I must, one, admit my need. That's number one, admit my need. Now, I came from Arizona, where it rarely rains, not the downpour we get up here. It'll do that thing, the haboobs, the big, like, dust wall that will, like, come into the valley of Phoenix. It'll spit rain at us, but it'll just end up, like, leaving dirt everywhere. It doesn't actually, like, often downpour like it's been doing here. So I love the rain. Like, some of you are probably like, I'm sick of it. Where's the sun? And me, I'm like, we get sun all year long in Arizona. I love this rain. And for the first time in my life, I bought rain boots. I didn't buy them, actually. My friend gave them to me, but for the first time in my life, I owned a pair of rain boots. So these are my first pair of rain boots ever. Ever. Some of you are like, you're on your 50th pair. No, this was my first pair. My friend got them for me. They have chickens on them. And I wore them in the garden a ton, so I probably shouldn't even be touching the bottom because there's probably chicken stuff. I'll leave that up to your imagination what stuff is. But there's like, yeah, yuck all over. I cleaned these, cleaned, quote unquote, but there's still like mud stuck in the little like spots. It's starting to fade here. I've got some like cracking happening because they were in the sun a little bit. And this lining inside is falling apart as well. So I told my mom for Christmas this year, I was like, I really need a new pair of rain boots. And I love just being able to say that you need rain boots. So today, I don't know how fashionable this is, but I'm wearing my new rain boots that I got for Christmas. And they have umbrellas on them, and I love them. It's so exciting. But here's the problem with clothes, is they wear out. We have to replace them. They get holes, they get cracks, they get muddy. And in life, it's the same way. We get to the point where our righteousness that we're wearing, it gets soiled. We have this like armor that we think we're going to be able to, if I just put on the right rain jacket, I will be able to weather this storm. If I just, I can replace my boots and then I'll be able to go do some more trudging through the mud. They wear out. We have to replace them. It's that way in the Bible too. We see it over and over again. In the beginning, Adam and Eve, they sinned. They realized we're naked and they felt shame over that. So what did they do? They sewed something together. What was it? Leaves. You can say it loud. They sewed leaves together to cover themselves, and God realized that ain't going to last for very long. I don't know how many of you have ever tried to, maybe that show Naked and Afraid or something, they probably try and make some leaf clothes in that or something, but they're not going to last very long. A good strong wind and you're going to need more leaves. So God provided for them. He killed an animal, used the skins to cover them. Fast forward a little bit, we see it in the Old Testament with the children of Israel. They had a high priest who once a year would kill an animal to make sacrifice to pay, to atone for all the sins of all the Israelites. They did that once a year as this umbrella, this blanket of forgiveness over the people, but they had to keep doing it every single year. The New Testament, we see it there as well, the early church. There was a little bit of drama. A little bit of drama in the early church. There were Jews that came to know Christ, messianic Jews. They believed in Jesus, believed that he was the Messiah. And then there were these Gentile believers, not Jews, that were coming to know Christ as well. And there was this argument of how much of our tradition, how much of our law, how much of the good stuff that God has required of us, how much of that should we make these Gentile believers do as well? So the big issue was circumcision. And all these Jewish believers were saying, you guys have to be circumcised. God commands it. So all these Gentiles were going, oh, I guess we have to be circumcised. And Paul intervenes and he pushes back and he goes, whoa, whoa, whoa. Wait a minute. So we're going to study it even more in a little bit. But I have this verse for you. This is found in Galatians 3:3, and I love how Paul talks to them. How foolish can you be? Like, whoa, don't hold back, Paul. He's pushing back on something very important because this is the early church. It's setting precedent. And he goes, whoa, whoa, whoa. How foolish can you be after starting your new lives in the Spirit? Why are you now trying to become perfect by your own human effort? thank God for Paul. Whoa, whoa, whoa. How foolish can you be? We see it in humanity still today. Look at all the religions of the world that have a to-do list. Church membership, tithing, you have to go through this class. You have to stop doing these behaviors. You have to start doing these good things. If you're going to be called a Christian, you have to do these things. If you're going to be called a Catholic, you have to do these things. If you're going to be called a Mormon, here's our to-do list, right? Man has created religious law so that everyone will adhere to this common code. And that common code, we're hoping, will make us righteous when we stand before God one day. But that's not the truth, right? People will say, this may be you and me too. Like, I'm here, aren't I? I'm in church. I give. I even give 10% the way the Bible asks. I volunteer. I believe in God. Isn't that enough? Don't all paths eventually lead to God? Doesn't God love mankind? Why would he send anyone to hell? Like, we all have these different ends of the spectrum beliefs about how to approach that moment. And Paul's warning us, we can buy rain clothes. We can provide them for ourselves. Just like my friend bought me these, and just like my mom bought me these, and I bought myself a raincoat, and I could put it all on and go, I'm good, I'm covered. Even if I have to replace it every single year, I'm good, I'm covered. But the danger is that no, none of that is ever going to be good enough. None of our own human effort. You could spend $200 on a pair of hunter boots. Come on, girls. They could be fancy ones and not these $20 Amazon deal, right? You could spend so much. You could give so much, and it will never be enough. Our attempts to cover sin will never be enough. Isaiah 64:6 warns us, we are all infected and impure with sin. When we display our righteous deeds, they are nothing but filthy rags. Nothing but filthy, old, muddy, old garden boots. The best we can do is filthy, chicken poo, corroded garden boots. That's what it's like before God. Even my best effort. So why am I trying? Why am I trying? Here's the truth that we must admit, that I'm a sinner. Everybody say it with me. I'm a sinner. That's the truth we must admit. And additionally, that I will never be good enough. We have to admit that to ourselves and to God. To admit that on my best day, I am not good enough. I don't deserve to be in the presence of a holy God. And until we come to that realization, we'll never be able to receive grace in the way that God intended. I love this. It's Romans 11:6. It says, and since it is through God's kindness, then it is not by their good works. For in this case, God's grace would not be what it really is. Circle this phrase, free and undeserved. Grace isn't grace if it's not free and undeserved. So fill that in. Grace is undeserved. Grace is undeserved. I want to encourage you that under this umbrella today, as you choose to step under it, there's room under this umbrella to be human. There is space under here to fail, to not measure up. And if you've ever been hurt, if you've ever heard a message that was preached to you opposite of that, it's not grace. It's not the good news of Jesus Christ. It's a man-made religion. And it won't hold up before God. It just won't. Say it again with me. Stay or live under the freedom of grace. Let's say it again. Live under the freedom of grace. Let's say it with a little more conviction. Live under the freedom of grace. Admit it. Admit it. You can't do it without grace. Stop trying to hide it. I want to encourage you with number two here. To live under grace, I must believe and receive. That's the action. Admit you need it, and then believe and receive it. That rhymed. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 says, God saved you by his grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It's a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it. fill this in. Grace is free. It's a gift, no strings attached. Just like these boots were given to me by my dear ones, they were a gift, no strings attached. I didn't do anything to pay for these. They were a gift. In that same way, grace is a gift that we must believe and receive. When I was in Barcelona, Spain, which was a life-changing experience, it was so fun. We went in, Evan and I went in February. It was in the winter. It was cold and raining. And we did that because it was cheaper to go. But man, it was in some ways not a good choice because it was storming almost the whole time. On Sunday, though, the clouds broke, and they were those, like, white, fluffy clouds by that time. Blue, I mean, just gorgeous blue sky. There's this really cool ramada, and these people were tap dancing under it. I mean, it was just, like, picturesque. These huge, like, fountains with lion heads that were, like, spouting out water. I mean, it's just, like, Sunday, like, heaven sabbatical moment for Evan and I. Just beautiful, just resting in God's presence around nature and around all these people of this other culture. It was just crazy. But the whole rest of the time, it was raining and storming. So Sunday was the good day. All the rest of the days were like, oh, it's raining. So there was this museum we wanted to see, and it happened to be far from the bus stop that we were looking at. So we thought, okay, well, we'll have to buy an umbrella. May as well break down and do it because we had been running around in our rain jackets. And it's like I borrowed some of these. I don't know who all these belong to, but I stole them from the pile over there. So there's this like variety, you know, the way an umbrella stand would be. I don't have one here, but we'll pretend. So there's all these choices in these umbrellas. And Evan and I decided there were two different price points. There was a $5 stash and a $10 stash. So we decided, we'll go for the cheapy $5 one, right? So we pick it out. Take it to the bus. We get on the bus, we go up to the hill, get out at the bottom of the hill, we gotta walk all the way up the hill to the museum. Well, I've got my nice little handy dandy umbrella, so I open it up, and not 5 minutes later, the wind comes rushing, I feel myself getting pulled back, and you knew what happened next. It was completely, I don't want to destroy this one because this one belongs to my friend, but completely inside out. Useless. So the moral of that is don't spend $5 on an umbrella because it'll only last 5 minutes. That's the moral of that story. But people approach faith as if they can pick and choose. You know, like, okay, well, this one's going to cost me a little much. God might send me to Africa, so I'm not going to pick that one. this one over here, you know, I like the way it looks. It makes me feel good. That feels good. That feels right. Yeah, God loves. Just like all these flowers that I love. Like, God loves, I just can be a good person, and that is good enough, right? We pick and choose what we're going to believe, and we go, I'm covered. Look, I'm good. This is love. This is the covering of love. I'm good. God loves me. I don't need anything else, you know? And we go through life picking and choosing as if it's an umbrella stand that we get to pick from. These are all really beautiful, by the way. Like, I like your guys' choices. But no, not all paths lead to God. If you don't know that already today, I want to encourage you with that. It's actually an encouragement because like we've been talking about, our choices are not going to get us there. It's this free gift. There's one way to get righteous before God. And it's found in Romans 3, verses 22 through 25. It's found throughout the New Testament gospel and foreshadowed in the Old Testament. But I picked these verses out. It says, we are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. We are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. And this is true for everyone who believes, no matter who we are. You could be the worst sinner ever, or you could have been a goody-goody your whole life. And we each have equal access to this gift, which sometimes doesn't feel fair for those of you that have been living like goody-goodies your whole life, right? You're like, what? I've been like good this whole time and we get the same prize, you know? That was the prodigal son, the brother of the prodigal son. Like, well, you're fattening a calf and you're killing it and giving him a party because he came home. Like, I've been here faithfully serving you, you know. No, it's a gift, equal access for all of us, no matter where you're at on the spectrum, no matter who you are. For everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. Yet God, in his grace, freely makes us right in his sight. Come on, get an amen in your gut. Yeah. He freely makes us right in his sight. He did this through Christ Jesus when he freed us from the penalty of our sins. Oh, I'm so thankful for that. For God presented Jesus as the sacrifice for sin. People are made right with God when they believe that Jesus sacrificed his life, shedding his blood. Paul says, God paid a steep price for this thing called grace. It cost him the life of his son. Jesus paid a steep price. He gave his life. And we know he didn't really want to do it deep down. Like it was hard. He said, if there's any other way, God, let's do it. Can we change the plan? Because this is hard. It's not like he went, I'm God, I'm invincible, I won't feel a thing. No, he felt it all. And not just that, he took on the sin of each of us, the penalty for each of us. I cannot imagine the agony that put our Christ, our Jesus through. He paid a steep price. So while grace is free, fill this in, grace is not cheap. Grace is not cheap. Long before you and I loved him, long before we knew his name, when we were still in our sin, when we were still a mess, it says that Jesus loved us. That God provided for us a way to be made right with him. He loved you. He gave for you. He provided this gift of grace for you. You go, wait a minute, you don't know my story. You don't know the shame that I've been dealing with. Like I would not, if I were God, I would not be so quick to forgive. The Bible says he takes away your sin as far as the east is from the west. That when he looks at you, he no longer sees the sin. How crazy is that? He throws it into the sea of forgetfulness. We're talking about God who knows everything, chooses to throw it away into the sea of forgetfulness and go, it's as if you never sinned. Whoa. I keep record of wrong. Like, Evan, you know, I keep track. I'm teasing. But you know what I mean? We're human. We keep record. God doesn't. He says when you believe that Jesus gave his blood for you and you receive that gift of grace, all is forgiven. Wow. There's this glorious exchange that happens. John 1:12 says it this way, yet to all who did receive him, talking about Jesus, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Here's what's so cool about having the right of a child. If you didn't have good parents growing up, then just imagine with me a perfect heavenly father. And you know, in our structure of everything, we lose our rights in many ways. Like we're asked even to lay down our rights when we come to follow Jesus. But there's this one right that is celebrated, and it is the right of a son of a daughter coming before their father. I just think that's a beautiful picture because who of you parents would deny your child choosing to step under your umbrella would go, huh, get your own umbrella, you know? Unless it's, you know, one that they're carrying it in their hand and they're like, use your own, right? No, if they needed room under your umbrella, you might even give, I almost knocked that over. You might even give them your umbrella, wouldn't you? That's the love of a father, and that's the right of a child of God to boldly approach him and go, this is what I need. And God loves that we do that. It's this glorious exchange. We turn over our raincoat. We turn over our galoshes. We let all of that go, and then we come under the umbrella of God's grace. Say it again with me. I stand under the umbrella of grace. Yes, do it again. I stand under the umbrella of grace. That's good news. Okay, so admit my need, believe and receive, and here's number three, guard my freedom. Freedom! Wish I had a horse. And blue paint. Am I mixing movies or is that the same movie? Thank you for that. Aren't you proud that I knew that? The blue paint. Freedom! It's something we have to guard. Evan, whenever we were dating, I remember this one time there was an event going on. We both went to the church that my dad pastored when I was in college and I was in the school of ministry. But I remember being so like in knots because I had I didn't know that my dad wanted me to sing at the event that day, and it was the gold rush days for the town, so it was a Western theme. So my dad was like, you can't wear that, go put your boots on. And he wanted me to change into my Western outfit. I should have brought a picture for you guys because it's really hysterical, me and my cowboy outfits. But anyway, so I remember being in agony because I hadn't prepared. And being in college, you gain weight. So I didn't fit in my Wranglers and my boots. You know, women, like, we want to be fashionable. My boots did not go with the outfit that I had. I was in knots over it, trying to please my dad, trying to, you know, fit in with what everyone expected. And Evan went up to me. It was the craziest thing. I'll never forget it. He walks up to me, and he touches my forehead like this. And he goes, be free. And I was so upset. Like, it's not as simple as, like, you figure out what to do. You figure out what to wear. You know, men, be free. But he was so right. I didn't realize that I was trying so hard to please people and trying so hard to please my dad that I took on something that was not mine to take on. And I just feel Jesus in this room today wanting to touch some of you on the forehead and go, be free. You're picking up something I never meant for you to pick up. You're carrying something I already took care of. Be free. It's gentle. It was gentle. He didn't, like, push me back or anything. I could have, like, really, like, told lies just now, but I didn't. I was being truthful. He barely touched me. Galatians 5:1-2 says this. So Christ has truly set us free. Like, indeed, take it to the bank. Christ has truly set us free. It's not just something that we think might have happened. It really did happen. Now, make sure that you stay free. So that's the action you and I have to take, is to stay free. And don't get tied up again in slavery to the law. Listen, I, Paul, tell you this. If you are counting on circumcision to make you right with God, then Christ will be of no benefit to you. Since Jesus paid such a high price for your freedom, don't give it away. Just because it was free, it wasn't cheap. Hold on to it. Stay free. That's what Paul's saying. Don't let it go. Now, oftentimes when we talk about grace, and I promise this is like an argument that people have been having for years, is like, what's the list of things that Christians must do? What's the list of things we're not allowed to do? Like, some of you, I'm sure, if you were like me, you were raised that, like, drinking was bad, going to the movies was bad. My grandma's generation, playing with cards even was bad because it was associated with poker and whatever, stuff like that, lasciviousness, and I don't know what all else. But there's this, like, list of things, drinking caffeine. I had a grandmother who was convicted about drinking caffeine. I mean, it's like, what are we supposed to do? What are the rules? What does God expect? Has anybody wondered that? We live in kind of liberal California, so everybody's like, we get tattoos, we drink. I don't know what you're talking about, Carissa. But, like, sometimes you come into a situation where you bump up with other believers that are super passionate about these items, right? And so we wonder, like, even the theology of once I'm saved, once I pray that prayer, once I receive that gift one time, am I good? Like, we wonder, where's the line here of grace? What we're wondering is, how far does this umbrella go? How wide is it? How much does it actually cover? That's the root of the question, right? We're wondering, some of us, maybe even, what can I get away with and still be considered a Christian, you know? How far does this grace cover me? We argue about it in church. Well, the Galatians were abandoning their freedom in Christ over this issue. Must we be circumcised? And these Jewish believers were saying, yeah, you must be circumcised. And Paul was saying, whoa, 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 whoa. Then of what benefit was Christ's sacrifice to you? This gift of grace. You're cheapening it. You need to hold on to it. We wonder what these rules are. These are threats to grace. And these are both, we're going to talk about, they're both works of the flesh. Both of these threats to freedom are works of the flesh. So here's the first one, fill this in. Religion/legalism. Religion/legalism. So these Jewish believers were saying, now that these Gentile believers are coming to the faith in Christ and we're all going to be called Christians, they represent us, you guys. We got to make sure that they stay on the straight and narrow, you know? So these Jewish believers were saying, hey, what if they end up like walking into something they shouldn't, or their hands do something they shouldn't? What if their eyes see something they shouldn't? Let's just tie them up a little bit, and then they'll stay free because they won't be free to go do those bad things. So they're trying to be under grace. Meanwhile, these fellow believers are putting these rules on them and going, you must be circumcised, you guys. And they're going, oh, I guess we must be circumcised under this thing called grace. And Paul went, no, that's legalism. Why are you going back to that, Jewish believers? Like, no, if that were enough, then we wouldn't have needed Christ. We wouldn't have needed grace. And here's the problem if you fall into the trap of following rules. If you try to keep one rule, you must be prepared to keep all of them. James talks about that. You fail at just one, it's as if you failed at all of them. And here's the tricky part too, is that it'll all be on you because Jesus is not going to help you. Where am I getting that from? I didn't make that up. This is what Paul says, verse 3. I'll say it again. If you're trying to find favor with God by being circumcised, you must obey every regulation in the whole law of Moses. For if you are trying to make yourselves right with God by keeping the law, you have been cut off from Christ. You have fallen away from God's grace. Whoa. I didn't make that up. Paul's like, this is a big deal, because if we don't get it right, early church, we're going to like set the precedent for everybody else. If grace is to be free and undeserved, if it's truly a gift, it's not by the works of our flesh. And then Paul goes on to make a list of sins. And some people will look at that list and they'll go, see, there's the proof, there's the rules. We're not to do this, we're not to do this, we're not to do this. And I didn't waste time on the list, it's not important. The important thing is that Paul didn't list those things as laws. He listed those things to describe to us the cravings of our sinful nature, which is the second threat to our freedom. Fill it in, flesh/sin. Our flesh has cravings. It leads us into sin, and it entangles us. Hebrews 12:1 says, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. So just as bad as trying to obey laws, getting into sin also entangles us. And anybody in this room, probably nearly everybody in this room, has experienced a moment in your life when you felt shame. And it could kill you, this feeling of shame, because it keeps you in the dark. It keeps you hidden. You fear being exposed. Just like Adam and Eve wanting to cover with leaves. It was, there's this desire to be right with God, but this fear of coming to him with it. The crazy part is he already sees it. He already knows it. And instead of spanking you, he wants to give you a gift of grace. He wants to say, I forgive you. Now go and sin no more. How beautiful is that? That's beautiful. That's grace. The Bible tells us we've crucified our flesh and we live as a new creation in Christ. And sometimes that's a daily thing. A daily thing to go, I crucify my flesh. God, help me to live as a new creation in Christ. So what's the answer? We didn't really answer it, did we? Can we or can't we? Well, let's talk about some freedom fighters. These are things that fight to keep our freedom free. Walking in the Spirit. That's the first one, walking in the Spirit. This is as opposed to walking in our flesh. And Paul lists the results of following what the Spirit desires. So just like he gave us a list of the cravings of our flesh, he gives us a list, and we know it as the list of the fruit of the Spirit, a list of what the Spirit desires, those cravings. Galatians 5, verse 5, it says, but we who live by the Spirit eagerly wait to receive by faith the righteousness God has promised to us. For when we place our faith in Christ Jesus, here's the answer, there is no benefit in being circumcised or being uncircumcised. Paul says there's no benefit in doing or not doing. The answer is neither one. The one focuses on what our flesh can accomplish, to serve and please God. The other one leads us to entanglement in sin. It doesn't help either. We don't actually live free. Bound in legalism, bound in sin, neither one. It's the wrong question, because both threaten our freedom in Christ. The goal, he tells us, is to live by the Spirit, to satisfy the cravings of the Spirit of God living in us. And how many of you wonder, okay, yeah, how do we do that? Anybody there with me? How do we do that? I'd love to live by the Spirit. How do we do that? Well, when you talk about New Year's resolutions, how many of you had the New Year's resolution to eat healthier this year? Anybody want to join me in that? A few of you? A couple of you? Thank you. Thank you. Some teenagers. Awesome. A little bit. Maybe a few better choices. Okay, gotcha. Well, they tell you with diet, it's bad, first of all, to even use that word, because we think of, here's my list of the things I can eat, and here's the list of the things I can't eat. And the can list, or the should list, is full of things like kale, you know, green vegetables, so like that. The list of things I can't have are like cupcakes and pizza and bread, and you know, you make this whole list over here. And as we continue to focus on, these are the things I should be eating and these are the things I can't have, it's really hard. How many of you have ever been able to succeed at a diet that focuses on that? Like maybe 20 days, maybe 30 if you're lucky. Like, that's hard. And you revert right back to the old diet. So people say if you really want to change your lifestyle, instead of thinking of it as, here's the things I can't have, here's the thing, no, I can't have that. Instead, you fill your diet with the good stuff and you begin to change your cravings, and it helps to push out the bad stuff. And Evan and I are by no means good at this, but I remember the year that we decided we are going to change not just our diet, but how our lifestyle of how we eat. It was amazing how good food started to taste good. It was more fulfilling. It was more satisfying. We began to feel it even emotionally, like having more energy for things and more positivity about things. Like I had no idea how much the yuck was actually making me feel bad. And then you go, ooh, I don't want that anymore. Now, Evan and I are not poster children for that. We've definitely ate a lot of sugar at Christmas time. There's just too many delicious things. Like my grandma made a buttermilk pie, you guys. It was so good. I forgot how delicious buttermilk pie is. Like, but was it satisfying? Was it fulfilling? Only in the moment. Truth be told, I want to go back for more. It's not satisfying. It doesn't fulfill. So living by the Spirit is the same way, where if we really want to change the way we live, we have to change our cravings. That means every chance we can be in the house of God, we're here, because we crave worshiping in his presence and hearing his word broken down for us in a way we can chew and live out in our lives. We crave time at his feet in private devotion at home, in our prayer time, and reading his word. And we fill up our diet, so to speak, with all that good stuff. And it starts to push out all the bad. It's amazing how that works. It's a spiritual thing. It's something I don't comprehend, but it's beautiful. Because people can look at me and go, how do you have hope right now? Or how are you able to make that choice so easily? And it's like, it's hours of pouring into God's word into my heart. And I want that for each of you. I want you to have those moments where you face that temptation and you go, it's just not appealing the way it used to be. I'm sick of being entangled by it. It's not worth it. And choosing instead to walk under that umbrella of grace and go, today there's grace for me. And there's going to be a new amount of grace for tomorrow. And today I'm going to live in the Spirit. I'm going to walk in the Spirit. Here's the second one. The second freedom fighter is faith expressed in love. Faith expressed in love. Did any of you girls just write a heart instead of the word love? Anybody? That's what I would have done. Heart. Yep. Faith expressed in love. Any excuse to draw a heart. The Bible tells us it's not faith and works. It's faith that works. faith that works, that expresses itself in love. And Jesus says, he boils it down, the whole law and the prophets, all of it can be boiled down to this one statement, to love God and love people. To love God with all of you, every part of you, and to love your neighbor as yourself. That's what Jesus boils it down to, that if you want a rule for living, live a life of love. You're never going to regret that. You're going to be able to stand before me in this gift of grace, righteous before me. It makes me excited for that day. That I get to be holy and blameless before him. I get to stand in the righteousness of Christ because of what Jesus has provided for me. A raincoat that will never soil. It will never rip. It will never wear out. Because it's Jesus's raincoat that he gave me. I get to be a child of God. I just want you to close your eyes for a moment. And I want you to just reflect on these questions. First, how does this truth of living under God's grace, how does it affect your interaction with other people? Maybe you have felt judged by others, or maybe you stand in righteous judgment of others. And maybe that needs to change. Maybe you need to offer grace to others. Maybe you need to let go of their expectations. What does living under the freedom of grace look like in your life? How does your day look different? What does living under the freedom of grace feel like? What emotions have you been struggling with that need that truth? That I live under the freedom of grace. What thinking or wrong thinking needs to change? Something you've believed about God or you've thought about grace that has been in error. I just want to encourage you to stand firm in his grace. Listen to this. Because of his grace, you have access and relationship with God. Not religion, relationship. Because of grace, you are part of God's family. You have the right now to approach him boldly. Because of grace, you are forgiven every time you fail. No shame, no condemnation, you are forgiven. Because of grace, you have an empathetic helper. Jesus was human in every way. He knows what we're going through. You get that empathetic help when you need it. Because of grace, you are made right in his sight without having to work at it. Wow. Because of grace, you have confidence you will inherit eternal life. Because of grace, you are free indeed. Live under the freedom of grace. If there's anybody here that you've never committed your life to Jesus, you've never received his gift of grace, without anybody looking around, would you just raise your hand really quick? I want to pray with you. Anybody that say, I want to receive this gift of grace today? Anybody want to join this one? Just say in your heart, say, Jesus, I love you, and I receive your gift of grace. Help me learn what it means to live for you. Thank you for the umbrella of your grace today. We're so grateful. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I have deliberately left plenty of time. We are going to sing a worship song. And while we do that, I just want to encourage you, you could do a few things. First, we have communion set up in the back. What a great way to celebrate the sacrifice that Jesus made and to tell him thank you for that sacrifice. You can participate in communion during this worship song. You could also approach one of the chaplains or myself if you want prayer about something. You're sick of the shame, or you're sick of living under the disapproval of people, or you just want to know that you truly are forgiven. You just want someone to partner with you and pray with you. We'd be happy to do that. If you want to just bow and kneel where you're at in prayer, or you want to stand, I want to just encourage you to stand and worship with the worship team as we sing this song. But do something. If it's journal some thoughts, something. We have plenty of time right now. Just respond to God. Say, thank you, God, for your grace today. Let's do that together.